So the message here is to ring it out. That's the principle for me to talk about here. And I thought about something relative to faith, and I want to say this at the beginning. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. And there's something about faith that's established based upon evidences, or again, the proofs that are not seen but are known. Again, I've made the illustration as clear as I can. There is a substructure behind the whitewashed walls that we see. There are bones, if you will, in our body that you cannot see, but they are real. And they are what supports the world we live in. Jesus is said to be the bond or the glue in Colossians chapter 1, 16 through 18, who has preeminence over all. And without him, nothing would stand. He is literally the bonding agent that makes everything we do possible. And it's no wonder then that the authority given to him and then passed on to apostles and passed on then to us through the scriptures, through the word, to expedite through simple words like go. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. I've thought about the word go a lot as in my own business, my own life, my own work. There are some people that I work with that have to be told everything what to do. They just cannot function without all the details. They're not intuitive. They're not able to pick up on the nuance or the, again, ideas and then go apply them. And we have to spend a lot of time coaching them. And sometimes we run out of time and resources and there's no money in it. And so sometimes people lose their jobs in the real world because they don't simply understand sometimes the freedom they have to go and do. Well, at our job, at my business, we are big at that. In fact, one of our initiatives is to take leadership and responsibility. We are horrible micromanagers. We tell people all the time. Now, in the Bible, though, we have scripture, we have means and ways of how to go do this, but I want to also say one more thing about faith and conviction. I thought about conviction today after, again, Charlie Kirk was assassinated, and a terrible thing for a person that was advocating many principles, 90+% if I'm analyzing what he said correctly, of what I would advocate. And so there's a man that with conviction went and did, and he was speaking on campuses, and he was obviously not as protected as presidents, and an assassin was able to get in sight and kill him dead. And it's graphic. The video, I mean, one man said his children will see that one day. And it's amazing how we're an uncensored society to that degree, but we are. All right, just 17 hours before, 24 hours before, we had another young lady from Ukraine that was assassinated openly on a bus, it looked like, or some train in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so things are happening, and we're exposed to it. And so I thought about conviction again. What good is conviction if we do nothing with it? I thought about Romans chapter 10, where it says, Paul says, inspired writer, that he bore the Jews or his brethren, kinsmen in the flesh, not Christians, record. He said in Romans 10, 2, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. But then he says, but not according to knowledge. Well, they have zeal, they have conviction, but their conviction is based upon what? Well, is it based upon hate? Is it based upon everything other than the knowledge of the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What does then the message of ringing it out advocate? What are we preaching to people? Are we preaching a message that we hate you? Or are we preaching a message that we love you, but because God loved you so much, he gave his only begotten son into a world that would hate him and crucify him, and he willfully would go to a cross, the cross, and allow himself to be crucified horribly and shed his blood openly for the sins of the world. And so as I thought about ringing out the message today, we've got texts that say go, Mark 16:15. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to the entire creation. I'm not preaching the world to just certain colors of skin or pigments. I'm preaching the gospel to the entire creation. And I have to go do it. How am I going to do it? Well, I know this in Romans 10. If people can't hear it, they can't believe it. So Romans 10, 14, 15 says they need to hear it. And so God sends preachers or messengers to preach. Well, that would be Christians today. That's you. We've got pamphlets. We provided trainings. And we'll continue to do that. In fact, I'm talking to the elders right now about we've got to cultivate more teachers here. You know why we need to cultivate more teachers to teach? Because I can't have just five ladies doing all the Bible class teaching. They're wore out. We've got over 50 plus kids in our Bible class program, and we need teachers. And so we need to provide some tools. We need to help you. We need a break every now and then. We tell Mike, our preacher here, an elder, fellow brother in Christ, it is good that he is able to take a break. Why? He's not the only one here that's going to go into the world and preach the gospel. We're going to help him and encourage him to go as we go. And that's what we're doing. Isn't that right, Leon? Isn't that right? Okay. So again, if they can't hear, they can't believe, so we have to preach. Romans 10, 14 through 15. The message again is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. And we preach that over and over again. When people were scattered in Acts 8, verse 4 in the book of Acts, and they were persecuted in Acts 8, verse 4. When they were persecuted, you know what the Bible says they did when they were persecuted in Acts 8, verse 4? They went and preached. They kept preaching. They were ringing out the message. They weren't going to let persecutors stop them or shut their mouths. In fact, you'll see the Apostle Peter and others say, we ought to obey God rather than man. You're not going to tell us not to preach the gospel. We're going to preach it. Why? Because we've got to ring it out. That's the only message that's going to save you. In fact, the older I get, the more I get infuriated with why people don't preach it. There's no other message that'll save you. So why would I not want to preach the gospel? I want to save you. Now, Texas, you want to be a doctor one day, right? And that's going to save people's lives physically. But the most important thing we'll ever do is save people's lives spiritually. You believe that? I do. But I believe doctors are important too. Just be a good one and help people spiritually. So again, we want to help people. All right. And then 1 Peter 3:15 says something about Christians having an answer. How often in 1 Peter 3:15 are we to have an answer? What's the frequency in 1 Peter 3:15 for Christians? And yet this baffles me. We've had some nice things said by the members here. We don't have bad things said to us very typically at all. But one recent comment that I appreciate, and sister here said, this is a thriving congregation. We haven't seen that in a while. And I thought about that, and I said, well, you've got four men here that love the truth, that we call elders. We do. We love the truth. And why wouldn't we be thriving if we didn't love the truth? Now, a congregation is not thriving. I thought about this. Why aren't they thriving? Well, what does 1 Peter 3:15 say? How often are we to have the Lord God sanctified or set apart in our hearts, and how often are we to be ready? What does the Apostle Peter say?
Always.
So here's something else I thought about. There's a bunch of us in here. If something happens to Mike, again, just to pick on him for a moment, if he comes in here sick like he did the other night, we're going to say yes. We're going to step up and we're going to be ready. How often?
Always.
So, men, I would encourage you, get you a sermon. Get you something in your mind, a little note card. Put it in your Bible. Be ready. Because you need to be ready how often?
Always
to give people an answer. And that's not hard to do. Again, we've got tools here. We can buy more if we need to. And so we need to have an answer always. And so if we're going to stay a thriving congregation, it's going to be because we're ready. How often? And that's when we're going to be ringing out this message. How often?
Always.
So we get a text message about once a week, don't we? I'm going to go back to Leon now, from Rob Whitaker. And he's always texting for a report. And that's all right. I just tell him, you know, how often are we practicing evangelism here? Once every now and then? Always. I hope we're doing it always. Well, that's the answer. That's the report. And that will keep us moving forward. So think about how we're going, how we're helping people here. If they cannot hear, they cannot obey. And if they will not listen, that's a different issue. Jesus addresses that. If they won't listen in the book of Matthew chapter 10, he says you can shake the dust off or the sand out of your sandals back then. And today in West Texas, we'd probably shake the dust off our boots and just move on. And that's okay. Jesus says, if they're not listening, don't waste your time with that. That's encouraging to me, actually. I don't have to sit here and try to beat you over the head with a mallet or an iron skillet and force you to obey the gospel. You need to want to. But I'm going to keep ringing it out. And I'm going to keep living it. And so if we'll keep doing that, then you'll see a lot of clarity in this world, a lot of consistency. People will have better context. And how will this affect character if we will do these simple things? How will the character of our city, San Angelo, look if we keep doing this? We keep ringing out the message. How will your character look? Well, I can tell you how my character is. I can't live with myself without knowing that I've obeyed the truth. I couldn't. It bothers me when I think about I've made a mistake. That dream bothered me about you and Mike. I don't know where it came from. I take the Bible serious. I'll tell you about it, Mike, afterwards. That's Bible class conversation. But we want to take the Bible serious, and we want you to know that you can obey it from your heart, just as they did in the first century, and be saved. And you can live with that hope the rest of your life. So if you're here and you know you aren't living right and you're guilty of sin, everybody's guilty of sin. But the only remedy is the blood of Christ. And the way you contact that blood is through obedience to the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. Again, that's why I preach it. It's the power of God. It stirs people up. I guarantee you, you preach it long enough, you're going to make people mad. That's okay. Sometimes anger turns to softness, and softness turns to repentance. And then repentance turns to confession, and confession turns to baptism, and baptism turns to a new babe in Christ. And that's the plan of salvation. So that's okay if I make you mad every now and then. I'm not doing it because I don't like you. I'm just doing it because probably the truth has hurt your feelings. And that happens. But it's not because I don't love you. Because I've had my feelings hurt. And I'm glad. So maybe you're here and you know that you need to respond and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Become a Christian. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ before men publicly. Be immersed in the baptisms of water for the remission of your sins, to arise to walk in a newness of life. Now you're guilt free. You don't have to live in guilt, shame of sin. You can become a Christian this night. That's ringing the message out. If you're here as a child of God, need the prayers of the congregation to repent of sins you've committed, then you can let us know that too. This is the Lord's invitation, as together we stand and we sing.